Where's the stock market headed? Up, down, or just plain sideways? Where are the best opportunities right now? Dave cuts through the fluff in a no-nonsense manner. Random Thoughts with Dave Landry Podcast. Here's your host, Dave Landry.
Doing your best going into the trade and accepting the outcome is the secret to trading. The accepted part is the tough part, but it doesn't have to be. Let's explore how to improve your trading by accepting these 10 things. Number one, it, spelled with a silent SH, happens. Mark Douglas once said that all it takes is one a-hole to screw up a perfectly good trade. A few years ago, I was speaking to a conference made up of predominantly day traders. Through this, I learned that there is a common strategy among them to, quote, short the parabolics, unquote. This made me realize that the same exact trades that I'm long through patterns such as TKOs, trend knockouts, are the same exact markets that these traders are targeting. Knowing that all it takes is one a-hole to screw up a perfectly good trade prompted me to tell the audience, it was nice to meet you. What's interesting is that the one a-hole doesn't necessarily have to be a trader. As I wrote in A Layman's Guide to Trading Stocks, which you can get free at www.davelandry.com/freebook, many years ago, I was feeling good about my profitable S&P futures position. And that's back when it was the big contract, for what it's worth. Since everything was going swimmingly, I thought it'd be a great time to grab a quick shower. After belting out a few verses of Big Dave is a Financial Genius song, I peeked my head out to see that the S&P had turned from green to red. I was not only wet, but soaked. The Emperor had no clothes. My profits were annihilated and I was looking at a big loss. Was there a fat finger on Wall Street? Did some hedge fund blow up? Nope. Some idiot decided to start shooting people in our nation's capital. Another example would be a CEO who decides to cook the books or thinks that it would be okay to sexually harass his secretary. The Jody Fisher debacle, which cost Hewlett-Packard shareholders billions, is Exhibit A. Or more accurately, Exhibit T and A. Number two, no one knows exactly what a market will do next. I know that I beat the dead horse here, but it's worth reiterating. This is especially true with all the get-rich-quick gurus coming out of the woodwork daily. So here it goes. No one knows exactly what a market will do. Not you, not me, and certainly not the guy who screams on TV. Once you accept this, your life becomes a lot easier. In fact, it's actually quite liberating knowing that no one knows. As I often preach, this means that the little guy can compete with the big boys. In fact, there are times when we have an advantage. We can be quick and nimble where they cannot. Case in point, I have a few pros, for example, RIAs, on my trading service. When the occasional small cap or IPO takes off, I get a, "That was cool, unfortunately it was too thin for me to take for my clients" email. Number three, garbage in, garbage out. As I learned early in my computer science days, garbage in equals garbage out. A computer given crappy instructions will give you crappy output. Applied to trading, the better your stock picking, the better your chances of capturing a large gain. I know it's cliche, but you need to focus on how to pick the best and leave the rest. There are two ways to improve here. First, practice deliberate practice. See An Introduction to Deliberate Practice at www.davelandry.com/members. And that's under Mine, Trading Psychology. You need to work hard at getting better. If you see a stock that took off, then honestly ask yourself, could I and should I have caught that move? Now, you have to phrase it within the context that, as the former CEO of HP has painfully learned, you can't kiss all the women. The second way to get better is to do an honest postmortem after the trade is done. Back the chart out to pre-trade and honestly ask yourself, if I were seeing this trade today, would I have still taken it? And if you answer yes, congratulations. However, if you find yourself saying, what in the hell was I thinking? Then that's okay too. You've learned. The next time a mediocre setup comes along, then you'll be more inclined to pass. Trust me, if you're doing truly honest postmortems, you will find yourself saying that less and less. Again, garbage in, garbage out. Number four, good times follow bad, and unfortunately, vice versa. The one thing that pains me the most in my educational business is to watch someone struggle during choppy markets and then give up right before a big trend develops. For example, one client who was following along my trading service gave up and then decided to check in a week or so later. When he saw the portfolio, he called me and said, "Dave, I feel like I broke up with my fiance, and the next Saturday night, she won the Powerball." True, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. However, provided that you have a solid methodology, then the secret is to stick with it long enough to reap the fruits of your labor. The flip side could be an even bigger problem. Wait, Big Dave, so making a bunch of money is a problem? Yep. I've seen people do some crazy things like quit profitable businesses that took many years to build or tell the boss to F off. They feel like they've discovered the Holy Grail, causing their ego to rear its ugly head. They overleverage, begin taking mediocre setups, fight the trend when it turns, and a host of other bad behaviors. Unfortunately, pride goeth before the fall. Soon, they end up in an ugly downward spiral. They fail to realize their methodology and the market simply dovetailed. Said alternatively, they fail to realize that everything works better with trend, and they forgot that discipline also played a huge role. Recognize when conditions are conducive for your methodology, but then realize that it won't always be this great. Joe Corona, a friend of mine, used to travel the world in search of volatility. At one point, he found himself in India. He actually sent me a picture of one of his traders kicked back at his desk reading Dave Landry on Swing Trading. He titled the email, "Indian Trend Following Moron," but I digress, and I wish I could find that picture. Anyway, he told me, "Dave, I like the new guys that have their ass handed to them right away. That way, and only that way, they learn to respect risk. The guys that are met with immediate success don't know what hits them when the tide turns." Speaking of tides, a rising tide lifts all boats is one of the few true Wall Street adages. A rising tide also lifts all egos. Belsky. Number five, there is a risk in every trade. Life itself is a risk. You probably would have been a lot safer today if you'd just stayed in bed. When you tell someone there's a risk of loss in trading, they look at you like you pooed your pants. Sort of the same look they give you if you walked into Starbucks and said, "I'd like a cup of coffee, please." Try it, and you'll see what I mean. Yet, once in a trade, they cuss and fuss when the market goes against them. Paraphrasing Douglas, what happens is that they have not truly accepted the consequences of risk. There are two consequences from risk. The first and most obvious is monetary. The second is the psychological impact that it will have on you. If you have not truly embraced and accepted your methodology and a solid money management plan, then the loss becomes much bigger than a loss in and of itself. The loss of the trade equates to the ghost of losses past. Keep listening. If you believe in your system and have thoroughly tested it through both good times and bad, then the loss needs to be a loss in and of itself. Yes, you might drop an F-bomb, but you reach a point where you quickly get over it and scream, "Next!" Number six, there is no eternal sunshine. Eventually, all trades end badly. All trades eventually end badly, even good ones. With my methodology, you either get stopped out at a flat-out loss, capture a swing trade and get stopped out for a small gain slash scratch, or capture both a swing trade and a longer-term move, but ultimately give up a sizable portion of those profits when the trend ends. In my column, I have three examples. You'll be shocked to see that I actually included a losing trade, probably the first guru in history to show a trade that didn't work. The better than the Pocadinho trade is when you capture a swing trade profit, which, based on our 2% risk, is a 1% gain on your entire trading account, and then either scratch out or a small gain on the rest. The ultimate goal is to capture a longer-term trend. This is how you win in the end. You capture a swing trade profit, you raise your stop to break even on the remainder, and then, I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully, through a widening trailing stop, you stick with the stock for a long, long, long time. Number seven, more often than not, markets will move against you. Greg Morris once said that a market only makes new highs about 4% of the time. Even your best trades will spend a lot of time backing and filling. In other words, they will likely go against you most of the time. For instance, if you notice a big winner on my website in the column, the stock has spent most of its time giving up open profits, which is red in the graphic, or at the least not accumulating them. Number 8, you're going to be wrong a lot, but that's okay. As I preach ad nauseum, the reason that engineers, automatic transmission mechanics, and doctors have so much difficulty trading is because they operate in a world where perfection is mandatory. If half their bridges fell down, or transmissions failed, or patients croaked respectively, they wouldn't be in business very long. Yet in trading, you could be wrong most of the time and still do quite well longer term. In fact, with longer term trend trading, you're only going to be right about 28% of the time. Note, this is why I take a hybrid approach, trading for both short term and longer term gains in an attempt to beat those odds. Now, I realize that statistics are worthless and 70.6% of all people know that, but the 28% number is pretty accurate. I've seen this through the years of testing, trading, and empirical research. When I first got started in this business, I was obsessed with looking smart and being right. Now I'd rather make money than be right. How do you think I got the name, Trend Following Moron? Of course, I'd like every trade to be a winner. And going into the trade, I truly believe that it would be. Otherwise, why bother? However, I'd much rather have one or two big winners in a portfolio and a big bottom line than all winners and a small bottom line. William Eckert once said that, quote, "The success rate of trades is the least important performance statistic and may even be inversely related to performance. The market lulls you to a false sense of security of high success rate techniques, which often lose disastrously in the long run. The general idea is that what works most of the time is nearly the opposite of what works in the long run." Unquote. High success rate methodologies such as naked option selling and pure reversion to the mean type trading can be a great way to have a brilliant but brief career on Wall Street. As I often say, that'll work until it don't. The big problem is it can work for a long, long time, lulling you into a false sense of security. Hey, Big Dave, why do you preach against these methods so much? Well, I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. And I'd hate to see you get hurt. With every decision comes emotions. That's physiology. We simply cannot make decisions without emotions. And with each unnecessary decision, for instance, micromanaging, comes more and more decisions. Considering this, you must reduce the amount of emotional round trips that you make by reducing the number of decisions in the first place. I truly believe that we are only made to make so many decisions in our lives. This is why the burnout rates are so high in careers such as air traffic controllers, inner city ER doctors, and day traders. So how do you reduce the amount of decisions? First, if you're picking the best stocks to begin with, then you'll be trading less and less. The Pareto principle comes to mind. You know what setups and in what overall conditions tend to produce the best outcomes. The second way to reduce the number of decisions is to simply follow your plan. That's easier said than done, but it doesn't have to be. Something as simple as turning off your screens and using alerts and occasionally hard stops can help to reduce the number of decisions that you're making. Use physical restraints if necessary. Commit to commitment devices. As a somewhat drastic example, one client came to the realization that the siren call of day trading was detrimental to his account, and he had no business day trading anyway. He solved this problem by moving his online account to a voice broker, forcing him to call in his trades. He now thinks twice before trading because he doesn't want to seem like a lunatic. His words. Number 10. Fear is normal. Becoming petrified is a sign that something is wrong. Bran, can a man still be brave if he is afraid? Father, you can only be brave when you are afraid. Fear actually keeps us alive. If you went through the day without any fear whatsoever, more than likely you wouldn't make it till sundown. In trading, you have to embrace and face your fears. He who forecasts all perils will never sail the sea. Romanian proverb. Going in, you need to ask yourself, what's the worst thing can happen? Well, the worst thing is the trade simply doesn't work. And provided you have a solid money management plan and again, not to beat the dead horse, but truly picked the best going in, then a loss is just that. A loss is a normal cost of doing business. Again, often though, a loss is more than just a loss. Douglas once pointed out that a loss is not necessarily a loss in and of itself, but rather all the losses of trades past combined. Ever lose your cool with a loved one over something really small? Chances are it's not that one thing they did, but all of the bad memories of that behavior combined. Case in point, my millennial daughter recently forgot to give the dogs, which she asked for in the first place, FYI, water after constant reminders. My wife Marcy and I totally lost it. To an outsider, our reaction would seem maniacal at the least. And the crime did not justify the reaction and subsequent punishment, which, by the way, she was warned about ahead of time. Isabel, if you're listening to my podcast, we still love you and believe that you're a great kid. By the way, have you checked the dog's water lately? Getting back to trading, isolating the loss is key. If you picked the best and left the rest, then so what? Again, it happens. Spelled with a silent SH. I know, guilty as charged. I still drop an F-bomb. However, there shouldn't be excessive fear in your trading. I did a week in charts just on this. Check it out on my YouTube channel. Just be careful not to operate heavy machinery afterwards. Note, I stole that line from Greg Morris. In a nutshell, markets do not create fear. That's created internally. For instance, how stressful was the 2016 and 2017 bear market in cocoa? Unless you're a contra trend cocoa trader, there was no fear at all. You probably didn't even know there was a cocoa bear market. Douglas said it the best. What you fear is not the markets, but rather your inability to do what you need to do when you need to do it without hesitation. Volumes can be written on that quote. The bottom line is that if you have the utmost confidence in what you're doing and recognize the difference between intuition and intuition, which is Sakota from Market Wizards, then you execute as planned. I never understood why it was so damn hard to just follow the plan until I read an article from Brett Steenbarger. He discussed the fact that we use two different parts of our brain. We use one part of our brain during the planning phase, and another part of our brain during the execution. This was fodder for another Week in Charts. Go to www.youtube.com/C/Dave Landry for more on this. In summary, trading, like life, all boils down to making decisions and living with them. Obviously, the living with them is a tough part. The good news is that if you can accept these 10 things, then your trading should get a lot better. May the trend be with you. Dave Landry.
Want to learn more about trading? Visit DaveLandry.com for free reports, articles, videos, and live webinars. Got a question on trading? Email Dave at Dave@DaveLandry.com.